13, if you've got your Bibles here. I haven't got it up here, so otherwise you'll have to pay very close attention. Matthew 13. We'll be donating Bibles next week. For those of you that don't bring Bibles to church, that's my April Fool joke for today. Okay? So don't count on that. You never know when I have the scriptures up there. Always keep people on their toes. Some days I have it up there. When it's too much typing, then I haven't got it up there. So you see, when I preach on one scripture, then it's normally up there. Matthew 13, verse from verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. Some fell in stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on a good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then we can go also to verse 18, as Jesus is explaining this parable. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And we read up to there. Jesus told many stories to his followers and to help them to understand the kingdom of God. We have so many of them. Yet there was a twist in the whole thing. He was told in the form of parables. And the reason Jesus told these things in the form of parables is so that those that are truly interested in the word can seek and find it eventually, to seek the word and to find the deeper truths of that. It's not meant for those that just, you know, even the Pharisees heard these parables, but they never received the fullness of that because they were not hungry for his word. They were never really seeking it. They were listening very selectively. And if you have children, you'll know what I'm talking about. As Jesus spoke in the secret language or in parables, we also do that at home when we want to do something that the children shouldn't know about, like the sweets and all those stuff when it's late at night and they shouldn't have any more of that. Then when we want that, we'll start talking a different language or something like that, you know, just to talk above them, so that we're not in the same length, or we have the secret language. The same with Jesus. He did the same. And only those that really seeked or were really hungry, they were the ones that received the hundredfold or experienced the hundredfold. But that posed a danger for us as Christians or people that walk with the Lord. The highlight or the danger for that is that it makes us blind to the riches of further insight in wisdom if we do not seek deeper, or we do not go deeper, grow in it. You know, 2 Peter 1 says this, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we might be here this morning. We've received our salvation, but we might be spiritually poor because we do not seek to go deeper. And the parable of the sower is what the Lord started moving with me this week, is that many times we sit in church, and between now and next Sunday, there's a lot of damage that's happening. And if we do not prepare our hearts all the time and check our hearts continuously and make sure, and it's with me as well, you know, the Lord identified areas in my heart where the soil was rotten, where the Lord had to change that soil and just to identify, allow the Holy Spirit to identify that. So that next week and the coming months and years, that we can always experience a hundredfold increase and harvest in our hearts. But, you know, when you do gardening, you probably agree with me this morning that gardening is not just about sowing the seed or planting a plant and then eventually just walk away and then put a pop-up in there that's programmed and then we'll just water that plant and then after 6 months or 3 months I'll just come to pick my harvest. It doesn't work like that. It needs continuous attention. It needs for the gardener to go and have a look and see there's wheat in the ground, so let's just remove that, or there's fertilizer needed, or there's something needed for that crop, and to ensure that it's not just 30-fold, not 60-fold, but 100-fold. Likewise, it works with our lives as well. We cannot just say this morning, you know, I've given my heart to the Lord, I'm saved, I'm sorted out now, my heart is right now, and now I'm on my way to heaven. You know, it doesn't work like that. The enemy comes continuously to sow things into our heart, the tares among the wheat, as the Bible talks about. Or sometimes, on a specific Sunday, I'm just not just there at that place, you know, spiritually and emotionally, and some of that seed fall on the wayside or it doesn't fall in good ground. And if I do not check my heart continuously, I would miss out on those experiences, or I would miss out on the fullness of what God wants to give us. And that's why this message is vital this morning, that we could continuously check our hearts and ensure that the soil of our hearts are prepared for good seed to fall into that. So it's not a matter of, like I said, that I've reached it this morning. All of us sometimes enter into phases like that, where our hearts are like ground, like stony ground, or weed, or all those things. Weed, not weed, that weed, you know. Onkruid, okay? So don't think about that one. If you're young, yeah, where's the youth? Okay, I'm talking about that bad stuff that sometimes Satan comes to affect us with. But we should continuously check that. And if we do not do that, church and our walk with the Lord can just become a religious experience by doing that week after week, because that's what, you know, I want to do, and there's no real change in my life, but I just continue to do that all the time. And then eventually religion comes in. And when religion comes in, that's a bad one, because then suddenly all these things manifesting. And some signs of being religious, without preaching about the religious spirit this morning, is that many times we see it, our primary mission is to break down or tear down whatever I believe is wrong. That's just the religious spirit manifesting in my life. That's one of them. And then there's always things like, you know, we cannot receive a rebuke from somebody a little bit, which we deem to see a little bit less spiritual than us. But God's got a way, and you know, His sense of humor is just so different, you know, that He will sometimes use the most unlikely to show us and to teach us. And that keeps us on our toes and keeps us humble. Or sometimes we've got, and I've heard it many times, that people that the religious spirit is very present, is that people would say, no, I don't just listen to people. I only listen to God. God is the only one who will tell me, and I'll do that. But God used people to point us into direction. That's not saying that we should worship man. It just shows us that we need to work together, and that God used everyone. And all of us has got a calling here to bless one another. Also, you know, many times when we have the religious spirit, we believe that we are the ones to fix the body. We are the ones that's got the answer here. And we are called to bring the answer. We are called, and you always see negative in the person. You always see negative in the church and those things. But I'm the great prophet. God has called me to show those things, to point those things off, tear it down so that His work can be established. That's just the religious spirit, you know. Or otherwise, going with that, is we overreact to carnality or immaturity in the church. It's all about that religious spirit that comes. But that's just the fruit of our ground that is not ready or prepared. And that's one of the fruit that I'm just highlighting this morning. So I want to talk this morning about the three types of ground or soil that the wrong ones, the right ones, we know that's the one that we want to see, that there's a hundredfold in our lives. But the first one is when Jesus talks about the ones that hear the word, but they do not understand it. And the ladies can say amen on this one. Sometimes we say to our husbands, you hear me, but you do not listen. That's what Jesus is talking about, you know. You hear the things, but you do not listen. In other words, Jesus is saying, it's not those that cannot understand because they haven't got the ability. It's those, they hear the things, but they do not want to understand really. So the word goes past them. Whenever we are when God is ministering and His word is coming out, and it just goes past you because your heart, you're not hungry. You're not really after seeking after him. You're just here to fulfill or just to do that duty. And because you've got no definite plan or reason or why you want to do this or because you're not hungry, it goes past you. There's no understanding. Thus, there's no application of what you've received. And then eventually, the whole thing becomes just another experience. And there's no comprehension. And the biblical idea of comprehension is more than just a mental comprehension. It's actually applying what we've received here on a Sunday in our lives. If we're not applying that, all we are doing is just gaining knowledge on a Sunday. And the sad and dangerous thing about this all is if we're just gaining knowledge, we eventually become deceived. Because now nothing is new to me anymore. When the pastor preaches about something, I've heard this before and I switch off. But God wanted to say something to me specifically in that. And it might not be a new message to you anymore, but it's just God just revisiting. And the most of the time, you know, I would say 80% of the time, what you will receive here on a Sunday is not something that you maybe have not heard before. It's just God bringing it from a different angle, highlighting it in your life or my life, and just making us aware of that. That's an area in our lives and we should pay attention or act upon that. But if we don't treasure those moments anymore, if we don't treasure His Word anymore, if we are not at that place where we are really hungry and that we are just gaining knowledge, we're becoming so deceived that whenever we are in His presence, His real presence, we miss out on those opportunities. We walk out through altar calls. We just treat those things as common and we don't experience that. And eventually, that is what happens is it also manifests in dishonor. If, let's take the example, if Fred would, you know, minister to me or to one of our staff, if I haven't got honor in my heart for him, I will not receive from him anything. He can say the same thing that he would say to somebody else here that's got honor in his heart. That person will receive. And likewise with one another. You, husband and wife, you know, teacher and student, or me, you, spiritual leader, home cell leader, home cell member, we need to continuously check that there's honor for one another and it works both ways so that we can receive. If we lose that, then we lose our reward as well. It's not about we make somebody more important than they should be or I'm suddenly the Pope, you know, or what we may call one another. But it's about making sure that there's a ground for honor and having that hunger in us to pursue the Lord and to see Him. If we struggle with these things that we haven't got the understanding, we struggle to get understanding, there's no application in our lives, then it's probably necessary that we start taking notes as the ladies sitting here in the front. You know, I'm saying if we are struggling with that in our areas, that we start becoming a little bit practical and say, Lord, you know, between Sunday and somewhere in the week, I'm just struggling to apply these things. So either Satan must have come or which is probably the biggest reason that Satan has come and just stolen that word or that seed that was sown into my life. And I just, you know, next week I've already forgotten about the previous Sunday. Now I'm just here for a fresh message. And it keeps me running for another week or two. What's happening? And I'm preaching to the youth. And it's normally the faithful ones in church that gets the hard message. So it's actually the ones that's out there. What's happening between Friday night and Sunday morning? Friday night we've got 40 youth pitching here, filling the place. Then Sunday morning we have 6. What happened between that time? Where was the seed that was sown on Friday night? I'm asking. I'm measuring commitment in terms of bodies. I'm measuring. If we're really hungry, if we really want to be in the presence of God, then it would be different. But somewhere between that time, and so it can apply to all of us, between now and the next encounter with God, if there wasn't real change, then Satan came and he destroyed. And there was maybe bad soil in our hearts. There was maybe stones. Maybe the birds came out and, you know, all those funny birds, not the ones that we spoke about last week, if you've been here. But he sends those birds to steal their seed so that we might not experience the fullness. Then secondly, Jesus talks about the seed that falls and then there's no root in that seed. And the word talk of Jesus refers to those that initially received the word with joy. Those are the, like they say, the talkers in church. They're not the walkers. They receive the word. They aim in, yes, and hallelujah, and we're all excited about this, and this is the way it should go. And when we talk about a subject, yeah, yes, we're all up for it. We're going to go to the DRC next week, Saturday. Yes, amen, amen. Count me in. And next Saturday, then it's only a handful of people, you know. That's the talkers. There's no root. We receive the word with joy. We know how to make the right sounds. We know where to say amen and where to say hallelujah and how to make each other excited. But when it comes to the application, when it comes to that root, and the root needs to go through the dry times, sometimes the hard times. And church is not always about coming here on a Sunday. Church happens out there. When I have to reach out to my neighbor, when I have to do the things that I really do not like, you know, when we as a home cell have to go out and maybe visit the home cell, I don't visit the hospital, and I don't like the hospital, I don't feel like it, but I can say amen in the church about it. But when it comes to the practical side, when it asks something more of me, then I'm not as keen anymore. And all that happens is just that root didn't grow deeper. So next week I'll have the same experience again. I'll just shout again and I'll just be as happy as I can be. But eventually I won't experience the fullness of the Lord, because God wanted to bless you through growing through that experience of reaching out or seeing a life being changed outside the church. Not in this hour or so that we have, but the fruit of that God wants to give you out there. And it can only happen when we allow Him, when that application part comes in. For that root, or for the plant to get rooted, the root needs to grow through dark times and dry times and stony places. And that is most of the time out there. When we don't feel like it, when you keep on praying for that person and you feel it's never going to come, the breakthrough is never going to come, that's the times when we have to stick and know God is keeping the water on us. He's watering us all the time. And if we just hang in there, we'll eventually grow. Then the third one this morning that Jesus referred to, He says the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of righteousness. That just says, Jesus is just saying there that if God is not your first priority, that will probably happen. When all these, again, weeds and all these bad plants grow into your life, there's a distortion happening and God is not your first priority. Now, this is just one. I don't want to focus or hammer on this. But as I was preparing this week, most of the time when our priorities, when God is not our first priority, some of the fruit, it's just one of that very often, that's the main one, is that it manifests in our finances. It manifests in our finances when we do not give as we are called to give. If we are not giving as God's calling us, that's just saying that my priorities is not right at the moment. Okay, I'm not preaching to get, we've already taken up the offerings. You don't have to worry. But all I'm saying actually, by not giving to the Lord or not releasing that, I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, I know better how to do work with that money. I don't trust those that I give the money to or whoever you call me to. And we need to identify those areas in our heart and say, Lord, maybe it's time. And maybe it might be where we divert our time and our energy and our calling. If that is also not in order, that means that there's weed and all those things in our life. God wants to pull that out of us so that He's first priority in our lives, and that we can focus all our time, energy, calling, focus, finances, whatever it might be that God has crowned us with or given to us, that we can be called good and faithful stewards. One day, all of us will stand before God, and there will be poor people in the eyes of the world that will be richly rewarded. Yet there will also be rich people that will also be richly rewarded. Because it's all about just stewardship. It's not about how much you gave. It's what you did with what God gave you and what He blessed you with. And sometimes it amazes me that poor people's got that poor mentality even worse. They have only got this little bit and I'll never have more. So I'll just be satisfied with this little bit. And then we break down the rich people almost. Yeah, but they are rich and they are not. That's a poor mentality. God wants to give you, if you are faithful in that little, and I'm talking not just about finances this morning, about having a poor mentality, in whatever God blesses you. If we are faithful in that one thing, God can give you another one, and then He sees, okay, you are more faithful. And then you are qualifying to become a better and a better steward. And that's what God wants to do. You know, Matthew 6:19-20 says this, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where thieves do not break break in and steal. My question to you this morning is, how is your heavenly bank account looking this morning? Where is your heart? Jesus refers there, he says in the last part of that scripture, saying, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And all our time and energy, if it's invested in this earthly kingdom, I don't know what the balance would look like. But it's time that we come to a place and ask ourselves, Lord, is my bank account empty? Because I've been investing in the wrong places. My time, my energy, whatever God has blessed me with. And we will eventually not be judged about what we did, but what we were called to do, as John Bevere once said. Now, how do I remain fruitful? Psalm 51:17 says this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. After prayer this week, you know, after intercession, I was just meditating upon this whole thing about a contrite and a broken heart. Lord, how do I remain, or how do my heart remain broken and contrite? Because then when I get into your presence, when I have a broken heart, then the seed can penetrate, then the seed can go deeper. But I see many times when we come into the presence of the Lord, I think our hearts are just hardened. It's just a matter of the seed just fall in the top there. And that's the moment when the birds come and pick it. But when we come to the Lord with a broken heart, the seed can fall into those places. We realize, what does it mean to have a broken heart? It means, or a contrite heart, it means that we become aware of our own spiritual bankruptcy. Actually, that doesn't mean that we are rich in Christ, yes. But in our own life, in our own being, we are really bankrupt. We need the Lord. We need Him. We need to place ourselves continuously in Him and understand that in Him alone we are rich. That means that our inner spirit is crushed with a sense of guilt, that we have a genuine and deep sorrow for our rebellion against God and a determined desire to do differently. Not just the sorry, Lord, I'm sorry. It's a really genuine sorrow in our hearts and an identification and seeing that that's a bad area, that that's bad ground in my heart, that, Lord, I've got a broken heart. I understand that, I see that, and I want to change that. A contrite heart does not seek to rationalize or explain or excuse or even to defend or justify sin. You are just being honest with God. You just say, Lord, I see those things. I'm honest. I can see it myself. I'm not going to hide that. I'm not going to allow that pride will stop me from confessing that or bringing that into light. I'm just being honest with you. I see that. And then it's more than just feeling bad. It's about being remorseful about those wrong things, those shortcomings, those sin in our lives. And also, we do not seek to blame circumstances or any other thing or other people for our own faults or for our shortcomings. Think about Adam. It started right back there at the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned. What did Adam say? He said, Lord, the woman you gave me, she gave me some of that fruit. And then the Lord approached Eve, and then Eve said, that snake deceived me. And likewise, that same thing manifests sometimes in our lives. We do not want to take ownership and responsibility. We blame the situation around us. David, I thought maybe David was contemplating and speaking to the Lord and saying, maybe, Lord, if you just didn't make me king, I wouldn't be on the roof of the palace. Then I wouldn't see Bathsheba. And then, did you see, Lord, what she was wearing? That was so tempting. You know, we blame our environment many times. And maybe you saying to the Lord this morning, Lord, if I just didn't work for this stingy boss, I would have not helped myself or the situation. If you worked or you lived next to this neighbor of mine that's such a pain, then you wouldn't react like that. Instead of just being honest and say, Lord, I've got a shortcoming here. There's something in my heart here. I am just struggling with this. I need to be honest with you. I'm frank here about this. Help me. A contrite heart recognize that sin is a spiritual crime and a violation against God's law. And it's also an offense against all that is decent and moral and right. It is rebellion, disobedience, and stubbornness of heart. You know, it's hard to say those things, but that's actually all it is. And I'm not saying that we are bad people. It's all about just recognizing where our heart is. I want to say to you this morning, as I was preparing this week, the Lord identified areas in my heart. You know, it's not about I'm in this area now and then I'll be staying there, or this is where I am, or I'm the good one. sometimes it's a little bit of everything. Because it's a big garden. Our heart is big, you know, the areas we are involved in life, we've got our hand in, is big. Sometimes in that little corner, it's just the bad spot where I'm struggling. God says, I want to come this morning and I want to remove that soil and make sure that you receive a hundredfold in that area, in your finances, in your marriage, at work, at your family, your friend circle, maybe in the where you're involved in church, in the home cell. That's a bad spot. That's bad ground there. And I do not see the fruit. I want to see a hundredfold. So in conclusion, I want to do something symbolic this morning. Carol, can I have you here on the music? We did it in the first service, and I want to, first of all, I want to do it on my own behalf as identification and seeing and having or saying, Lord, give me a broken heart. Give me a contrite heart. And as identification with the bad areas from the bad soil in my heart, I want to do something this morning. That we, if you feel that the Lord has identified something in your heart where you know there's a bad spot, yeah, Lord, there's something in it where there's maybe a stony ground or there's thorns that came up and sprang up, or maybe this ground was just not as fruitful. And I really want to see a hundredfold in that area. I really want to see that I experience victory in that. That I do not just come to church Sunday after Sunday and never experience a breakthrough in that area. And what I want us to do this morning is come to the front. We can maybe work it from that way back around. And then just these are not filled with ice cream. Okay? It's not April Fool today. It's just filled with ground. And all we're going to do is we're just going to empty it in here. Symbolically, we're just saying to the Lord, Lord, I realize that. I see that. I'm honest with you. We are transparent about that. Whatever it might be in our lives. And we just allow you this morning as a symbolic sign of what we are doing. We're allowing you to empty that this morning and fill me with new ground. Fill me so that my heart will be fruitful, so that I can experience a hundredfold increase in that area. So Father, I just want to come to you this morning, Lord, as we prayed in the first service. And I just want to once again say, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. Many times I've just been blind to those areas or didn't see that, oblivious or whatever it might be. Or even rebellion, Lord, against your word, against your voice. And repent of that this morning. Say, Lord, remove that from my heart this morning. Cleanse us and give us pure hearts this morning so that we may experience a hundredfold in these days to come. Amen. So if you feel God is leading you this morning, you're welcome to come to the front, and we're just going to allow the Lord just to work there.